Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
I wasn't a very good employee, right? Just we got to keep stimulated. We got to keep doing new different things, and hired my best friend from high school who's still with us today. And we just started doing crappy jobs digging sewers in, breaking up basement floors and until we could get the business established. And then we grew from 99 to 2005. I took on another HVAC company that went out of business or was going out of business. And we went from 25 plumbers to 60 employees.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris. Man, I really, really hope when you're listening to this episode that you're listening to it knowing that my beloved Purdue Boilermakers are NCAA champions. I really, really hope that's what's happening right now as you're listening to this, is they're still celebrating. I'm celebrating because that's what I really want to happen. So anyway, excited for today's episode. I want to give a quick shout out real fast too. I don't normally do this too, but just to Rilla for being a great sponsor for us. And also to Chirp, which I think is another awesome product. Just two things that a lot of our contractors are using successfully to help, you know, this year be successful. So quick shout out to those guys and for being a great sponsor for us. But, you know, I never do this, and I'm going to do it because I haven't done it in so long. And I always forget, which is kind of ironic. But for those of you that are listening who don't know, I'm also the co-founder of Rhino Strategic Solutions. Somebody reached out to me today and asking who Rhino was through the pot. And I'm like, wait a second. I guess I don't ever really talk about the fact that I have a digital marketing company called Rhino. That's 16-year-old digital marketing company that's been serving the home services specifically for that length of time. So yeah, by the way, we have a digital marketing company that serves the home services industry, including our guest who's on today, Mark. So I want to do a real quick introduction. I have Mark Pop today on the show, and he's out of Iowa, a great wrestling state. If you ever heard of it, lots of good.
Yeah, and we're going to win the women's national championship this year as well.
That's so right. Caitlin Clark putting on a absolute clinic. It was so sweet to see them get revenge. I know they said it wasn't a revenge game, but I think we all know that's exactly what that was. Revenge game over LSU. Gosh, that was great. I wish she just would have done the ring thingy. But hopefully, you know, again, by now too, that they are our national champs. I just don't see how they lose it to, and I'm so sick of hearing the name UConn, but just, man, I really hope that what a perfect cap to a college career for her.
Yeah.
But Mark is the president, co-owner of Golden Rule. They're out of Des Moines. Actually, it's Grimes. That's where you're from. Yeah. Right. But just, northwest of Des Moines. Guys had your business, you and Miranda, your wife and Miranda, you got three kids. You got the dog Ruby. Is that it?
Yeah.
Ruby, and you guys have built the business and the family and did all the things, and I've kind of done the same thing. And but your business actually started in 99, but it wasn't Golden Rule when you first started it, right?
Correct.
It was City Rule.
Yep.
So I'll get to that piece because I'm gonna try and figure out where the City Rule piece came in. So I need to understand a little bit more. But Golden Rule is plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical. So he's just trying to do it all. Trying to do all the things. Just thought, you know what? What can I do to make it more difficult? Let's just go ahead and add another trade.
Yeah. Well, when you're in a small market, you got to keep adding those legs to the stool.
I completely understand. And then if you get really good at cross-marketing to them, it actually makes a lot of sense. As long as you have a lot of good processes and systems in place, you know, to manage it appropriately. So one, Mark, welcome to the podcast. Excited. I know we talked about it, but it's finally good to get you on here.
Yeah. Appreciate it. I It's an honor to be here, and thanks for the invite.
Hey, man, you are still one of the few surviving privately held businesses. How does that feel?
Well, it doesn't feel as good as it did a couple of years ago.
That's right. Hey, you got to come to your first Rhino X, and Miranda got to join you as well. Yeah. Was it what you thought it would be? Like, what was your biggest takeaway from it?
Here's my Rhino X notepad.
It's
on the table with pages of notes.
Awesome.
I didn't really have an expectation. I'd heard all about the hype and all that stuff, but that intimate setting, the way you put it together, it was pretty amazing, sitting at those tables in small groups and be able to pick the minds of guys that are running hundreds of million-dollar companies, right? It's always great to know what that next step is, which my next step is not 600 million, obviously, but hopefully another step of 50 million, 60 million, 100 million.
It was awesome. Yeah. And what's cool about that is like, everybody gets intimidated to talk to a lot of the big legends that run there, even the influencers or whatever. And it's not that kind of an environment. Like you totally are like, that is what they're there for. They know what they're there for. And by the way, like they are there as students still. After like all the success that they've had, you notice that?
Yeah,
constantly trying to learn.
I think that's awesome. Yeah, I don't think we can ever stop learning. There's somebody that has a little bit of a twist or a different way of saying something, and as long as we're being students, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, 100% agree. It's just I always love that sometimes they're asking the questions. So I'm like, guys, this is for others to ask you the questions. So just let them ask the questions, but. Good, man. I was glad that you got to come, come to the event. I'm glad Miranda got to join you for the event. I hope that she, enjoyed it as well. And, it's always kind of cool because I work with my wife too, to be able to, there was quite a few spouses that were there. That was really great. And in even who participated in the actual day session, like didn't just tag along, for the event and the concert and stuff.
Yeah.
So did you get your watch yet?
I did.
Did you?
Got it. Miranda's wearing hers today. I just saw she had it on. She's at the office today with Ruby. So, awesome.
Love it, man. Well, so let's go ahead and jump into it for our listeners. Like I said, I'm always trying to bring on somebody, and not everybody I know. Mark, I do know. And I've had the pleasure of working with Mark as a digital marketing company and getting to know him. And also, jumping on calls and having conversations about just the industry as a whole. So, runs a good business. He's in multiple trades, been at it since 1999. So, been through a little bit if you started a business pre 2000s. So good, I think relatable person to the majority of you guys listening. So what I want to first do, Mark, is just go ahead and let the listeners know where the business is today. So they have some reference points on the size of business that you are today. And then we're going to work backwards through the story. Just on, how you got into the trades and then through the 99 launch and on up from there.
Okay. Well, today we're a $30 million plumbing, HVAC, and electrical company. We started electrical 2 years ago. After a year and a half, the first 6 months was getting people in place. And then we launched that because of our HVAC division, right? It's a natural lead in with air conditioners, need new panel upgrades. All right, let's quit referring that and do it in-house. And we were able to crank out $2 million that first year in sales just by adding that business on with a 60% gross profit. So it was an absolute no-brainer.
Sounds like it worked.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yep. And we have our top tech program that has probably led to our ability to grow in this market and not have to rely on finding people. So we have the Top Tech University. I know Peterman has one as well, where we bring guys in for 90 days. And we've been doing that since 21. I've always done it since 24 when I switched over to service. But doing it 90 days at a time has just been a game changer and being able to add that other trade on.
So, okay. So let's, that was like the Cliff Notes version. So how did you get into the trades in the first place? Like, was this what you were trying to do, was get into the trades, or you just...
No, I went to college to play football. I went to Mason City, which is a NIAC. It's a junior college because I didn't pay attention in high school. And
Same. And
I was what is now diagnosed as an entrepreneur. So we finally got that diagnosis. So I went to college for a year and a half, finished the football, decided to get a job, had my first, we had our son at 19. So my dad, coming from a farm community, said, get a job, go to work. We're not floating this anymore. And so I started working UPS at night, and then I needed a day job. And there was a plumbing job that came up on the Indeed or whatever it was back then. Right. So I started doing both of those jobs, and I did those for 5 years, 4 or 5 years. So I worked from 7 a.m. to 3:30 on the plumbing, and then 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock doing the UPS thing. Did both of those, got my licenses in the plumbing trade. And then we came home from church one day. There was a ma pop shop, which is city rule, was for sale. So I was also now what's called an acquisition entrepreneur. So Miranda just graduated from Iowa State with a design degree, and she had just started her career, started talking to this guy. I went to the bank. I couldn't get $1,000 unsecured loan. He put the down payment down on the business. I took it over. 3 months later, he went back into business for himself. So my contractor started leaving me, and then all of a sudden my people started leaving that I thought that I had brought on as part of the acquisition, and called him up, and he said, look, he said, the cash flow wasn't as good as I thought I'd be retiring. So I'm going to go back into business. I'll forgive this, and we'll just part ways.
Wow. How thoughtful. Jeez. So I didn't realize that. So man, that was an early acquisition for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So wow. I bought my first house when I was 19, when I was working both of those jobs, and I rented it out to my college buddies that were going to Iowa State. And then I bought a duplex here in Grimes and rented half of it out. And then Rand and I got married and lived in half of it. So I had both those, you know, I was always doing something entrepreneurial throughout that. So I had that cash flow and that, you know, little businesses going on. And then when this came up, I knew I always wanted to be my own boss because I wasn't a very good employee, right? Just we got to keep stimulated. We got to keep doing new different things. And so then that's when this came about, and I bought that, and then they went back into business and started doing their own thing, mostly all new construction, a little bit of service, hired my best friend from high school who's still with us today. And we just started doing crappy jobs that digging sewers in, breaking up basement floors and until we could get the business established. And then we grew from 99 to 2005. I took on another HVAC company that went out of business, was going out of business. And we went from 25 plumbers to 60 employees and doing plumbing and HVAC. And that's when I hired, you're familiar with the name Al Levy now, right?
So, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Al came in and put all his manuals in place. And we've been running off those manuals since 2004. And then I hired Ellen Rohr to come in and teach me the financials and worked with both of those for about 5 or 6 years. Went through 08 and lost about, you know, good chunk of money because we still had some new construction builders on. But we started doing service and training in 04 and 06. We had 5 or 6 full-time service techs. So I was able to cash flow through that losses. And then 08, when the recession hit, that cleaned out all the new construction guys, right? Like,
right.
Okay, you're gone. I'm going to try to not be your banker anymore. And that's when we switched the name to Golden Rule because we had We Obey the Rules to Live By. Nobody knew what city rule meant. Are you in the city and the rule? But it was R-U-L-E. So I'm like, I have no idea. I don't like the name myself. So it does need to change. And then there was a citywide heating and cooling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're advertising on TV now and people are, you know, so it was time for a change, and we made the flip, and I settled on Golden Rule, and then I put it on the shelf for 6 months because that's a big name to put on the side of your truck, right? The expectations and the belief of it. And, you know, my belief as a Christian was like, okay. So we shelved it for 6 months. I'm like, that's too much pressure. But then one day it just hit me like, okay, let's go. This is the right name.
Yeah, man, because I believe, and this is, you know, because I'm Christian as well, that sometimes you just get like the things are so obvious in front of you, but we make it more difficult than it needs to be. Yeah. And that's like a great name, you know, and if it fits you and it fits your values, and so it works, right. You know, and the expectation is what you make of it, you know, like doing the right thing, doing good, going in. And if you use that business, you know, like I'll say often, you know, Rhino is just what I've been given to serve the masses. And so today, to this day, I think you know this, 16 years of running that business, you know, 180 some odd rhinos, we still do community service one Friday every single, I guess it's two Fridays now because we got so many people, you have to split it up. But we still are doing daily or monthly community service. And it's not like on their own, like I'm covering the salaries while we go and serve because that's the commitment I made.
That's awesome.
Crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it feels pretty good. So congratulations. I didn't realize that that city rule wasn't something you came up with. I didn't realize it was an acquisition. It makes sense, especially because you probably could never really feel good about, I mean, if it had no meaning to you, like it's kind of hard to, you know, like buy into your own name, which would be difficult, by the way. I've never been through that. I also didn't realize you knew what you wanted to do early on in regards to being an entrepreneur at 19. Like I had no idea what the heck I was going to do.
Well, having a child at 19 kind of makes you grow up a little.
Yeah. Faster. Yeah. And I have my oldest daughter at 21. Like I just turned 21. When that happened to me. And yeah, you had to grow up really fast, you know? And I mean, gosh, in 2019, In 1999. Yeah. When I was Indiana State, like hopefully they just won the NIL tournament too by this time. Yeah. I just didn't know what I wanted to do for the longest time. People asked me, did you always, you know, I didn't even know I was an entrepreneur honestly until like I got into it and I didn't even know business, you know? So, but it is exciting to hear the story because you went through a lot, you know, in that time frame. So being able to use Golden Rule and kind of, you know, get excited about your name of your business and like and be able to build a culture around the business, use like that has to feel good. I mean, and you went through the things.
Of course, we went from when we changed it to Golden Rule, we were doing 6 million in new construction with 60 people and went back to 15 people, I think, and doing 2 point some million dollars after, you know, starting it from nothing. And it was a $1.2 million company. When I took it over, it went back to 600,000 and then we grew it to the 6 million and by 05. And then we took it back down to 2.3 to go service only. So yeah, I mean, that hurts. I mean, that's pain. But it's worth it, right? Manage your numbers and your cash flow and it works out.
Yeah. But then you learn some of your, like some of the best lessons. Like, I mean, probably one of the best lessons I learned was in the most painful point of my life in the business, you know, like, cause then you have that feeling attached to that. And I'm like, I'm not going back to that, you know? And so, yeah. And it's a great story because you're building a family along the way too, which like, you know, building a business is hard enough and trying to do it. And you have your family and you know, you have kids and like, it's like all that stuff is challenging. And it's not like a woe is me story. It's just like a challenge. Like those are two whole full-time, those are both full-time gigs with overtime.
Yep. That is for sure. And that's what drove me to hire Allen was it had to be a process. You know, I was working 12, 14, 16 hour days and with no processes. And I'm like, I'm not doing this for the next 30 years, right? Or 20 years, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. And so, but you weren't like, you know, you weren't out working on air conditioners and furnaces like yourself, or were you a technician out there servicing like doing all of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So up until 2009, and then it started, you know, getting less and less as I implemented process. And, you know, once you take a jump and the typical ladder where you grow and stay, you know, and I would have to make sure I was working in the business and not on it.
Yeah. And that's always like a big miss that mostly everybody makes, by the way, listeners. So like, it's not uncommon if that's you. It is sometimes when you're wearing multiple hats, like difficult to not work, you know, in the business at a certain phase. Then you got to have those. But if you have like, you know, your systems and processes in place, then you can start putting people in to manage to those. Yep. And it's just, but you have to learn it. Like part of it, you have to learn it. And if you don't know how to do it, there's plenty of help. Like he said, he's using Ellen and Al. And I mean, both those are great. They kind of go hand in hand. They've been working together for so long. I know Tommy, you know, Mello is huge fan. I mean, he loves Al. Like he is a huge Al Levy fan. So then let's just, so I'll speed it up a little bit too, because I want to get through some of the tactical questions. But, you know, 2023 was a year I love talking to people about, because we're just out of the unicorn years for the trades. And some had a good 2023, but a bunch didn't have a 2023, and not necessarily be like they were bad years. They just weren't what was projected, but it made you look a little bit closer at your blocking and tackling, you know, if you didn't have some of these things in place. So how was your 2023? Like, just if you had to grade it from on a, you know, just a straight A to, you know, F scale, like how was your 2023?
A solid C.
Solid C. Sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. We crushed it up until September, and then we just got kicked right in the nads in September the rest of the year. And, you know, I never like to mention the weather, but the weather is, it's been 40 degrees and 50 degrees in Iowa since September. We had one cold snap in January for a week and a half, and our business just went like that.
Yep.
And then it went right back to 48 degrees. So, creating that demand on that side, but our HVAC service is actually above goal. And we're seeing more of a struggle in the plumbing department, on demand calls. Right. But our HVAC is really doing a great job.
So by the way, for those listening, who've never been to Iowa, 40, 50 degree weather is like shorts and shorts weather and maybe a hoodie, shorts weather. Not ideal. So, how was the beginning of 2024, starting off for you, Mark?
January was a really solid month. February was a really challenging month. I mean, it was 60 degrees here, a lot of that month. And so we just started getting air conditioning, system checks going on, and then March hit, and now it's, you know, 40 degrees and snowing. I think next year or next week, it's going to turn around, but you know, this is always, I say this is always the toughest season in Iowa, because air conditioning, you really, on those 10 plus systems, we really want it to be above 50 degrees, right? To really properly check them. We can do tents and blankets and all that stuff, but it's just adds more to it. So we're ready for some 60 degree weather. March ended up gross profit. We've still been maintaining a 52% gross profit, but we're just short on gross dollars because our sales are not hitting budget.
Yeah. And by the way, let the listeners know what kind of population we're talking about with Des Moines, with the Des Moines market, Des Moines Metro, greater Des Moines Metro.
Yeah, we'll call 230,000 households.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, we're not talking, this is a medium major metro area. It is a small metro area. And which is, again, is why sometimes adding on those additional services and being able to market to them makes sense. Like it makes sense if you have somebody who can legit lead it and you've got good systems and processes in place. So I get it. So, you know, when people talk about, cause you know, like I live in this world of heating and air conditioning, and I have for so long across really all of North America. So yes, I watched weather patterns daily, every day for the last, I don't know how many years, like it's a part of my everyday life. And that's a part of a lot of people's lives at Rhino is, you know, especially in a market like yours where you have true four seasons, You know, spring and fall are always challenging, and we do need Mother Nature to help us out a little bit. There is still the preseason buyer who buys post-winter and then pre-summer. So that on the HVAC side of things. But then there's always that gap, like a month gap, 3-4 week gap in between where we're like, please, dear God, let it be freezing cold and pipes breaking and things like this. But I've been saying this for so long, and I don't know if I mentioned this at Rhino X or not when I was doing my interview with Ara, Service Titan CEO, but you know, I've been through this wave with you too, right? Like, so I've been, you know, I started the business in 2008. So I started it, you know,
in the recession,
which ended up working out really good, cause it taught me a lot fast, but I've seen a lot of these trends, and I knew, and I've been saying it forever. If you go back and listen to any of the podcast episodes, even midway through last year, I had said Q1 will be the most difficult quarter that we've faced as a home services industry in a really, really long time. And it wasn't just because, like, it was multiple reasons. But with all the consolidation, something had to burst at some point in time. I just knew Q1 was going to be the hardest. So we had prepped at Rhino to make sure we were looking at everything we could look at to try and bring up business because, you know, regardless, we have a responsibility, and that's to produce. I mean, things got more expensive for all of us. I mean, inflation kicks in. I mean, the, you know, economy is changing. You know, and we'll talk about this later, but like, the financing options are different. Money's more expensive. You know, approval rates are declining, like all the things, but that doesn't mean that you still got to run a business and you still got to grow and scale a business, and plenty of people are doing it successfully. So, you know, you've been through enough now that in some ways you were probably prepared for it. In some ways you're prepared for this. But what do you think is one of Golden Rule's biggest strengths as a company?
Great question. I would say we've been thinking about this a lot, right? You and I have talked about, you know, expansion and you know, the private equity thing when we were looking at that and interested in maybe being a platform company, but where are our gaps? And so process-driven culture, we're very process-driven, including the manuals. We still have living live manuals today. One number for all employees, 3 KPIs, and those are like on our org charts and in the building. One-on-ones with every employee, we still maintain them. We have moved those to the field just to increase efficiencies. And then our daily huddle, right? It's nothing wild, sexy. You know, it's just keeping it positive. We have monthly meetings where we cater breakfast in and give a state of the union of where the company is, what we're working on to make sure that they can see ahead, right? They're not, if we all get stuck in what's happening today, sometimes lately that can be a little bit depressing.
Yeah, sure.
We have to know what's next and what we're showing. And acquisitions, greenfielding is a large part of our strategy. So making sure we're keeping them up to date on our actions there. But I would say those just daily, we live in a 3-day world, right? Part of Nextar, they do the 3-day
yep.
call board, win the day. And that, its essence is what we do. We just live in that 3-day world, no excuses, and no variance, no days off of it. Just grind it out.
Yeah. You kind of were talking a little bit about culture in that piece. Because you know, you're trying to have your monthly meetings and talk about, you know, all the wins. You probably talk about the challenging pieces, and you come up with solutions for the challenges versus just focusing on challenges. But you bring up a good point because, you know, with all the different consolidations that have been happening, there's some of these people who are that are leaders in these companies who've been consolidated, who are about to get a turn, you know, have a financial event and then potentially exit. And the talent game has changed a little bit. I've also seen a lot of talent coming available because of acquisition. Like, they don't want to work for the sponsor that they acquired the company. And so we're seeing the recruitment game change.
Yeah.
I think for the better for those looking, because listen, it's your responsibility to make sure that you give the employees, your team, whatever you want to call them, all the things that they needed to feel secure in their job, whether, you know, be financials or the personal things. If it's like making them feel, whatever it is, like that's our responsibility as owners, is to just provide the opportunity for them and the education and all the things.
Yeah.
So if they leave, you know, a lot of times it's not necessarily that they leave the company. They usually leave, you know, their manager or their boss.
Yep.
And that also is your responsibility, right? As a leader. But the recruitment game has changed, and I actually think it's changed for the good. And I think that, in part because of you have top tech, more and more people are doing these things and kind of incubating their own staff, which I think is great. Because then if you're incubating your own staff, if you have the patience to do it, at least you're not bringing someone in with the baggage.
Right.
You know, so, and you can also, once you figure that out, you can start to project a little bit better and know that you have, you know, supporting staff, you know, to execute. So, in a lot of ways, it's been fun to watch that play out over the last, for me, really even 5 years, you know, and because, you know, like I have such a great relationship with Chad Peterman, he and I are the best of friends. And, it's been cool to watch what he's done. Cause he's been greenfielding quite a bit.
Yeah.
And just to watch how it's all played out has been pretty cool. But what are you guys doing is there anything special that you guys are doing to retain employees? Is it, and also maybe I can parlay that into an incentive plan, because a lot of the conversations I have with some of my buddies are just around these, employee incentive plans or comp plans and things like that. That yes, you do the things to make them feel good, to make them. But then there's also the financial piece of it, and how can you? I mean, really, when we come up with incentive plans, it's used to drive behavior.
Yeah.
But also, they want to make as much money as they can too, most of the time. But was there anything special that you guys are doing to help with the employee retention?
Hey, Chad Peterman here. I've been all in on Blue-on for quite a while now, and it's not just me. Contractors all over are seeing similar results. Tony at Just-In-Time Heating says their support calls dropped immediately once they rolled it out. His techs get reliable answers from Blue-on's AI faster than what they get from the OEMs. And their parts guy, he's loving it too. It's made his job way easier. They're saving time, solving problems quicker, and feeling more confident in the field. Blue-on's just become part of the process. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Click the link in the description and book a quick demo. You'll get it.
Yeah, so we've been working on, we have our core values, right? Respect, understanding, loyalty, expertise, and serve. And so we try to make them living within the culture of, they're not just words on the wall. They reflect some way that we're treating our customers and or our first customer, which is our employee. And loyalty, right? So we have a staggered health insurance where we pay 100% of their family insurance after they have loyalty for 4 years. So every year it increases by 25% of their family. They start off 100% employed, profit sharing. But then when you get down to the nuts and bolts of it, like right now in our CSR room, there's no more important customer than the call that is calling right now that we have to get booked.
That's right.
Like nothing else happens until they book a call. So we want them to feel really part of the game. So our CSR manager has done a great job of creating bingo games and other incentives that are in the moment. And then they still have their incentive plans on booking so many calls a day, they get incentivized by that and the 3-day call board. Those are still there, but we're injecting more personal notes, gift cards, and those touches in the moment to try to increase behavior and make them feel appreciated. Because we all work hard. We just want to be appreciated. If we can do it more in the moment, that's what we're trying to do, is more in the moment incentives.
Hey, did you know? So I was looking at just the last 6 months of your CSR's performance based on new leads that have come in, from our stuff.
Yeah.
You know that your team is booking at a brand. These are net new for the listeners. It's like, these are net new leads coming in, like not repeat, not referral, not net new people calling into user service. You get your booking at a 54% on net new leads, which, by the way, industry average is like 40.
Yeah.
40, 41-ish.
Yeah.
54. That's fantastic.
Yeah, they're killing it. They're doing a great job.
Yeah, you have a good crew over there. And so anyway, I think that's, you know, and so it's easy to incentive good behavior too. It's always how can you incentive to change behavior? That I'm always interested in hearing what people are doing differently. And because you also don't want people jumping ship and trying to go to work for somebody else over financials. I mean, there's only something, if you know you're doing all the right things, you know, personally, that's important to you. Yeah. There's only so much you can do financially because you have a financial responsibility to, you know, to the business too.
Yeah. And just to bring this up, you just reminded me of something, you know, we've had several, I would say frontline, with the tightening of everything, the expense of everything and the inflation, like their checkbook is tightened up. And so they're thinking about getting second jobs. And I'm like, whoa, time out. To my managers, I'm like, let's not allow them to, they don't need a second job. We need them to be fresh and 100. Let's put these incentives in place so they can make that extra $200, $300, $400, whatever they want, in a benefit to us. And now they can still have their nights and weekends to themselves. So that was one that just jumped off the page in a conversation here a couple months ago. And that's why a lot of this got going.
Yeah, man, everything's getting more expensive for everybody. And by the way, like even the average home prices, I was just watching, I think I was reading or listening to a podcast or something where it's talking about how the average home prices jumped up so much and the average income needs to like, isn't matching what the, you know, the inflation is looking like, but we still have a responsibility to try and match it. Like even at Rhino, we had to do increases just because it's getting more expensive. And then the same thing is we took our annual bonus or incentives that are performance-based and moved them to quarterly. Yeah. I mean, to help give them these, you know, their bonuses fast. Again, still based on performance, different tiers. Like you still got to execute on for your customers. You know, that's the whole purpose of it, but just to give it to them faster.
Yeah.
to be helpful. So these are just like, by the way, like to listeners, anybody who's in a business running business, like this isn't probably anything new to you. Just always got to try. You got to figure out solutions to potential problems to try to keep good people. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a Rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.